The lesson tonight is out of Luke chapter 15, verses 22 to 30, Christ's encouraging motivation to the faithful few. One of the spiritual realities of the human experience is the fact that relatively few people believe in Christ unto salvation, and that a minority actually spiritually fully wants him. Remember the parable that Jesus gave of the sower and the seed in Matthew 13, 18 and 23. Even amongst the productive group, the people who were blossoming, some were 30-fold, some were 60-fold, and some were 100-fold. So even the good ground produced varying degrees of crops based upon how good that ground was. So when we believers notice this fact, we can become discouraged or disillusioned, a concern that Jesus' disciples faced in the latter part of his earthly ministry. Of course, a lot of people were not accepting Jesus at that point, and the nation was turning against him, and Jesus would end up on the cross. Well, Jesus spoke on this issue in Luke chapter 13, verses 22 to 30. So we view the passage for our insight, our application. This is a message that people feel. And I would gather that a group here would be the faithful few. And so I want to read the verses, and then we'll look at them. Luke chapter 13, 22 through 30. And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that will be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the narrow gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut to the door, and you begin to stand without it, to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. Then he shall answer and say unto you, I know not from where you are. Then shall you begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in your presence, and you have taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know not whence you are. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God, that you be sitting to dine. And behold, there are the last which shall be first, and there are the first which shall be last. As Jesus began his ministry in Perea, this is across the Jordan River, near the end of his earthly ministry, during the latter part of his ministry, he apparently, his followers, were somewhat discouraged that its message of the kingdom was not sweeping the nation as they thought it would. So one disciple asked if only a few people would be saved so as to enter the messianic kingdom. Well, Christ's response to this question was that his followers should strive to enter his kingdom through the narrow gate, for many would seek to enter it, but would be unable to do so. It reminds me of another passage where Jesus broad is the way, and many go therein. But narrow is the way that leads to eternal life, and few there be that go therein. He said that in another place. Well, just how and why this difficulty would occur is illustrated in the parable that Jesus then gave about a man who was giving a feast in Luke chapter 13, 25 to 27. In the ancient Near East, as often occurs in Oriental societies today, whether it's in Africa or Asia, some of the best teaching is to provide a story, because people attach themselves to a story, they understand the themes of the story. And so Jesus would teach in these stories, these parables, that's what they were. Well, in the parable, the master of the house, who gives the feast is Christ or God the Father, either one. The feast is the messianic kingdom, and the people who were kept out of the feast were unbelieving people of Israel in Jesus' time. Well, the master giving the feast eventually gets up and closes the door, and the people on the outside who cannot enter the house to participate in the feast stand outside knocking on the door to ask the master to open it so they can enter and participate in the feast. Though they ask the master to open the door, the master says he does not know where they're from. The people begin to say that they had eaten and drunk in the master's presence, that he had taught in their streets. And this is an obvious reference to that generation of Jews who witnessed Christ's earthly ministry, wherein he had offered the messianic kingdom to the people of Israel. Now, Jesus had spent 3 years, 3.5 years teaching these people and offering the kingdom, but the people weren't really that responsive to it. The people then begin to say that they had eaten and drunk in the master's presence, that he had taught in their streets, an obvious reference to that generation of Jews who witnessed Christ's ministry. But the master then answers that he did not know these people. And he charges them to depart from them as evildoers. These people would then experience weakness and gnashing of teeth. And whenever the experience of weeping and gnashing of teeth occurs in the Gospels, it refers to the Hebrew people in Israel who miss the kingdom blessings and they're cast into eternal hell and condemnation. And they're doing that. The gnashing of teeth and weeping is a sense of deep regret because they have rejected the Messiah, they've rejected Christ, and they're ending up in eternal torment. And this is a shock to them as Jews. And often they're kicking themselves, so to speak, because they didn't respond to the Lord. Well, that anguish will be intensified as these doomed people witness Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the messianic kingdom of God while they themselves are cast out. But even more traumatic in what was a revolutionary idea to the Jews of Jesus' era, Jesus said that Gentile believers would come from the east, the west, the north, and the south. In other words, from all the corners of the globe. And they would recline at the table of the feast of the kingdom of God along with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all the Israelites. The unbelieving Hebrews of Jesus era to be cast out into condemnation. My wife was she was reading in the Transworld Radio pamphlet that they mail out. Apparently, there's a group of a tribe of people, the Pygmy people in the Congo area. They're very short people, and someone got hold of the gospel and gave the gospel to these people, and these people were amazed. Because they always considered themselves as forgotten people, as people were cast off. But this Jesus of Nazareth was interested in forgotten people like them. And so many of them came to know Christ as their Savior. And I think in one day they baptized several hundred of these pygmy people. And there's a photograph there. And there's one man who's coming up out of the water and his hands are clapping like this. He's so thrilled because he comes to know Christ. And amazing people. Many people who thought themselves were forgotten are going to be eaten with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom, and yet many of the Hebrew people will be cast out. So many who were considered the last to enter the kingdom by the Hebrew people, that is Gentiles, would be first, since they were believers, where many who considered themselves to be first to enter the kingdom, since they were Hebrews, would be last as being kept out of it. A way of interpretation in Jesus' followers that their entrance into the Messianic kingdom was not dependent on their Hebrew physical ancestry, but on their exercise of personal faith in Christ for salvation from sin and hell. Justification was thus by faith. Just as Abraham was justified when he was still a Gentile before he was circumcised to become a Jew. A lot of people forget that. In Genesis 15:6, this is where Abraham, he's not circumcised until Genesis 17. So he's still a Gentile, all right? And he's from Ur of the Chaldees. He's a pagan Gentile. But he believes in God's word that his children would be as the stars of the heavens that you couldn't number. He does that in Genesis 15:6. And there, God reckons it to him for righteousness. He's actually justified at that point. So he's justified before he becomes circumcised as a Jew. And that's the precedent for everyone. Everyone who is saved, whether you're Jew or Gentile, you're saved like Abraham by faith as justification. So the lesson is, though Christ's salvation is open to all people, only those individuals who trust in Christ for their own salvation from sin and hell will be justified by God and enter the millennial kingdom. Thus all people, Hebrew or Gentile alike, must strive to enter that kingdom by faith, not by works, or by physical or national heritage. We might be American citizens, but we don't get into heaven because we're Americans, that's for sure. Americans, Canadians, Mexicans, people in Europe, people in Africa, Asia, the Far East, China. Anybody who enters heaven only by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the application is, may we put our faith in Christ to be saved from sin and hell, lest we be cast into hell and eternal condemnation. And number two, may we believers realize that even among believers, there will be differing degrees of spiritual maturity and productivity based on varying degrees of obeying God's word, according to Matthew 13:23, the 30-fold, the 60-fold, the 100-fold. So may we not be disillusioned by the failure of many other believers to grow in Christ, but focus on our own walk. One of the people who was baptized today was Tyrone. The first time I met Tyrone, I went to visit him in the hospital. He just had this situation where he has apparently a weakness in the wall of one of his blood vessels. That's why he can't work anymore. He gets special Social Security help. And I went to visit him in the hospital. At the time, he didn't know the Lord as his Savior. And I remember visiting him, and he was polite and he was cordial, but he wasn't really that interactive. I'm sure he was under stress because of the situation. And I was hoping that I wasn't making him uncomfortable, being a pastor visiting him, but I tried to interact with him, and I told him we're praying for him and all that. And then I left after visiting just shortly with him. I remember walking out of the room wondering, did that get anywhere? I mean, was it really worthwhile going and visiting this dear man? I just didn't know. Well, today, when I went down into the water to perform the baptisms, Thea and Dan were already there. They'd beat me to it. But I rode and stepped right through them. He came right into the water. And he was highly motivated. He was very anxious about going under the water, wondering what it was going to be like and all that. And I said, well, we haven't lost anybody yet. I told him that. And we're just going to get your nose just under and pull you right up. And thankfully, Jacob was helping there, and then Gus is also helping too. But he wanted to get through. He wanted to get over it. But he was highly motivated. And he came down and got him into the water, got him up, and it was exciting. And also for Dan and Thea, they were both very highly motivated to be baptized. But I was thinking that the tremendous change that has come in Tyrone's life since he's come to know Jesus Christ is a different person than what I visited in the hospital. And so I realized when I look back on it now, that visit really wasn't something that was, not productive. You never know how that might have opened. And so we, God doesn't want us to be discouraged. He wants us to be people who will respond and who will respond greatly to the Word of God. Yes, often there are people who just take sort of a whole time to respond that well. But those who do really, really come around. As we were walking down towards the baptismal, Tyrone was walking with me. And he's just discovered the book of Joshua. And he says, man, that's quite a book. He says, I've been reading through Moses' book. I finished Deuteronomy, but this Joshua is something else. And then he says, Proverbs, where's Proverbs in the Bible? I said, well, it's after the Psalms. He studied some of the Psalms. But he says, I got a long ways to go to get to that. I said, okay, take your time. I'm still learning too. But it was a privilege walking with him down there, and the enormous thirst this man has for the Word of God. He's learning. We got him a new international version, and that makes more sense. But these and thous scared him a lot, because he didn't grow up with these and thous of the King James, but the NIV he's comfortable with. But that's exciting. I also talked with Thea afterwards, and she was sharing me a little bit about her testimony. And man, that lady, where she's come from, and what she's been through and the motivation she has to serve the Lord. It's exciting. And Dan, too. Dan loves the work days here. He's a fixer-upper, just like Dan McLarty. He's Dan McLarty 2.0. And man, we could use people like that, especially with an old building like this. But I found it very, very encouraging today And I believe it goes along with the message that God has for us. There are those who will respond. So God wants us to hang in there and serve the Lord.